Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the living God. Once again, our God, an awesome God, has allowed us once again to come on KESK Radio Station, and we come tonight to give you the Word of God. Tonight we are being blessed with Apostle John Newsom and Pastor William Perry. We're going to have an open forum tonight, so sit back and be blessed and listen to what God has to say to you. Now come to you, none other than our beloved brother, Apostle John Newsom. Hello, Brother Newsom. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Apostle. How are you doing?
I praise God every day we live. No God like our God.
Amen. Amen. There's no God like our God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I agree.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know the Lord has a word to give to us tonight, so I got my pen and my paper. I got my pen and my paper.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I thank God for another day. I thank God for this opportunity. I thank God for Apostle Hunter for this opportunity. I tell you, God is so wonderful, and I pray the blessings of God upon your life, Apostle. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua, Father God, please let this message go forth. Let it help. Let it build up. Let it encourage. In Jesus' name, amen. If you
amen.
Have your Bibles, please turn your Bibles. I'm Dr. John Newsom. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International in Houston, Texas, at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive in Houston, Texas. Sunday services begin at 10:30. Bible classes begin at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays. Come by. I'd love to see your face in the place. Now, if you would, please turn your Bibles with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 1. The scripture says, "And Satan stood up against Yisrael." Satan, his name was Lucifer when he was in heaven. He was the anointed cherub angel, walked among the fiery stones of the mountain of God. I tell you, he was anointed by God. He led the heavenly choir. He was so cold. I tell you, God made him so beautiful. He had precious jewels and stones in his body, in his angelic body. He had built-in instruments in his throat and in his body. He had built-in instruments. But because of Satan's beauty, he got big-headed. He got puffed up like a frog. He got full of pride. And he went around heaven trying to get all the other angels on his side to cause a rebellion in heaven. And he wanted his throne to be above the Most High God, the only true living God. God threw him out of heaven, and he hit the earth. He fell fast like lightning.
Yes,
and now he's on this earth. He's on this earth. And it says right here in 1 Chronicles 21:1, "And Satan stood up against Yisrael and provoked David to number Israel." You see, God had told David, "Don't count the people." But what did Satan do? Satan stood up against Yisrael, and he provoked David to do exactly what God had told him not to do. He provoked David to count the people of Yisrael. You see, God told David, "Don't count the people, David," because he didn't want David to begin to depend on the people. God is a jealous God, and he said, "I'll have no other God besides me." God was teaching David to depend on him and him alone, not the people. So he told David not to count the people, but David went on and counted the people because Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David. What does that word provoke mean? He excited David. He sparked off something in David. He triggered David. He triggered David to do just the opposite of what God says. You know, have anyone ever said, "Hey, I don't know what it is about you, but I just don't like you. I don't have a particular reason, but I just don't like you. Have anyone ever did that to you before? Well, what has happened in that situation is Satan triggered them. Satan provoked them to dislike you for no reason at all. Satan, he's still the same devil, and he's still pulling the same tricks today. He'll trigger it and spark off people and provoke people to try to harm you and to come against you. And that's what Satan did right here. You know, the Bible says that Satan, he roams to and fro throughout the earth seeking whom he may devour. Satan wants to devour you. Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. He wants to destroy you. I tell you, when you're a servant of the Most High God, Satan has an all-points bulletin out for you. I tell you, you're on Satan's radar. Satan hates the servants of the Most High God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we see right here that Satan stood up against Yisrael. Well, he's still standing up against Yisrael today. We have been engrafted into the family of God. We are Yisrael. We are Yisrael, and Satan still stands up against us. He still comes against us today. He still tries to provoke us to rebel against God and to sin against God. He still does the same thing today. Now, if you got your Bibles, I know you got your Bibles, please turn to 2 Corinthians. I'll give you the topic in just a few, but let me read a few more scriptures here. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. Look at verse 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says here. He says, "We are troubled on every side, not distressed. Have you ever been attacked by Satan? On every side, I mean Satan attacking you every way he can. He's throwing everything at you, including the kitchen sink. And he's attacking your body. He's attacking your finances. He has the people in your family going nuts and coming against you and rebelling against you. He's trying to use your wife. He might be trying to use your children to come against you. Satan's attacking you on every side." But Paul said, he said, "I noticed that Satan is attacking me on every side." He says, attacking us on every side. He says, "But I'm not distressed." We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. See, it gets like that sometimes. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. The message God has given me for you all today is when all hell comes against you. When all hell comes against you. That's the message God told me to give you today, is when all hell comes against you. The powers of hell, the devils of hell, Satan, when all hell comes against you. You know, the Bible lets us know that those who live godly will suffer what? Persecution. You don't have to be doing something wrong for Satan to come against you. You can be doing something that's good and right, and Satan will come against you.
Yes. Yeah.
Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. When all hell comes against you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I just said that even the godly people are attacked. Even the godly people are attacked. So it's just because you get attacked doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong. And that's the first, that's another trick of the devil. The devil will attack you and then try to cause you to think in your mind that you're doing something wrong. No, you could be doing something right. You can be living godly, and Satan will attack you. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You see, you can be living godly and God will have people slandering your name, defaming you, trying to put you down and tell lies on you. That persecution from Satan. God will stir up people to come against you and try to defame your name and say all manner of evil against you. You see, the godly are attacked by Satan also. When all hell comes against you, that's the message. We're going to learn what we should do when all hell is coming against us. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. If Satan hasn't come against you lately, he will. He will come against you. That's if you're living godly. He will come against you.
Yes.
Oh, yes, he will. And if you're not living godly, Satan's crazy. He tries to kill, steal, and destroy everyone. 1 Peter chapter 5, and look at verses 8 through 11. The scripture says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But God says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. We're to resist the devil. We're to come against. We're to come against the devil, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Don't think that you're the only one being attacked by Satan. Your brothers and sisters all around the world are being attacked by Satan. Verse 10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a little while, he make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, it won't last. You'll be attacked, but it's only temporary. It's only temporary. You're going to suffer for just a little while. Then after all the attacks of Satan, then Jesus comes in and he what? He strengthens you. He perfects you. He establishes you. He settles you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. All the stuff that Satan may be throwing at you, it's good to know that it's an expiration a date to the trouble that's coming against you. It's going to expire. It's going to end. When all hell comes against you. Number one, what we're supposed to do, this is what we do when all hell comes against us. Number one, we got to count it all joy.
Count
it all joy. Now, I know that's not logical. God is not logical. God's ways are much higher than our ways. The Bible says that our weapons of warfare are not what? Carnal. But they're mighty through God to the tearing down, the pulling down of strongholds. You see, we can't fight a spiritual devil with fleshly weapons. We can't hit the devil with our fists. No, we got to use spiritual weapons. And one of the spiritual weapons that God told us that we have to use against Satan is we need to count it all joy when under attack of Satan, by Satan. When Satan is attacking you on all sides, you don't go into the closet and go into a deep depression and discouragement. No. God says that when the child of God has been attacked by Satan, what are we to do? We're to count it all joy.
Count
it all joy. Now, what does it mean to count it all joy? It means to be exceedingly joyful. It means to be exceedingly joyful, to be cheerful. We're not to go into a depression. We're not to complain and whine. No. God says when you see that Satan is attacking you, what did he say you need to do? He said you need to count it all joy. I know it don't seem not a logical to the to the natural mind. But remember, God's ways are much higher than our ways. Our weapons
Amen.
Are spiritual, and they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We defeat Satan. We overcome Satan. We beat and overcome the attacks of Satan. We win over Satan by using our spiritual weapons. We've got to count it all joy. Count it all joy. Be exceedingly joyful when you see that you're being attacked by Satan. Look at James chapter 1. Count it all joy. Say to yourself, count it all joy.
Count it all joy.
That's one thing that we have to do. Oh, Satan, it's you. And count it all joy. Oh, it's you, Satan. And count it all joy. I see you attacking me, Satan. I see people lying on me, defaming me, scandalizing my name. But what am I going to do? Count it all joy. Ha, 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 ha. Satan, I see you.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm counting it all joy. You just laugh. You what? You count it all joy.
Mm-hmm.
Look at James chapter 1, and look at verses 2 through 4. My brethren, here it is right here. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse or various kinds of trials or temptations, knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith produces patience, or work give you patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Count it all joy, the Bible tells us. God tells us through the Apostle Paul, through James, that when we're under attack of Satan, we're to count it all joy. And Satan will come at us with various, or diverse. That word diverse means various. It means various. He will attack us in various ways. He'll attack your finances. He'll attack your body. He'll have people lie on you and scandalize your name. He'll throw everything. He'll attack your finances. He'll come at in every direction, various attacks of the devil, different kinds of attacks. But whatever the attack is, we need to what? Count it. Good God Almighty. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. That's faith. Count it all joy. That's faith when we do what God says. God, I'm being attacked, and I see in your word what it tells me to count it all joy. We just do that. That's faith. And that's how we overcome all the attacks of the devil. That's how we overcome all the trouble in this world. The scripture says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, whosoever or whatsoever or whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, the trouble in this world. And this is the victory that overcometh the trouble in this world, even your faith. See, faith is doing what God tells you to do. Just do it. When you're being attacked by Satan in the various ways that he may attack you, what are you supposed to do? Count it all joy. Count it all joy. And God's going to take all the attacks, and he's going to cause it to produce patience in you. Patience. In you, steadfastness in you, and then you're going to be to the point where you're lacking nothing, where you're lacking no good thing. You're not going to be lacking in your health. You're not going to be lacking in your finances. You're not going to be lacking in your social life. You're not going to be lacking, the Bible says, in nothing, when we just count it all joy, when you go through various attacks. The various attacks that Satan may throw at you, you count it all joy. Look at Psalm chapter 2. Look at Psalm chapter 2. I gotta show you this. See, when I tell you, Satan, he even tries to take counsel against the Almighty God. I'm going to show it to you in the Bible now. He tries to devise attacks against the Almighty God. See, you know Satan's stupid. He's trying to devise attacks against the Almighty God. But the Bible says that God sits in heaven and he laughs at the devil. He laughs at him. And so God is telling us to do like him. Count it all joy. You need to be exceedingly joyful and cheerful. God is, He laughs at the devil when the devil takes counsel against him. Look at Psalm chapter 2. I'll show you that in the Word. Psalm chapter 2. So when you're under attack, what are you to do? Count it all joy. Be exceedingly cheerful. God doesn't lose any sleep over Satan trying to devise and get counsel against him. The Bible says that God just laughs at him and mocks him. God laughs at the devil and mocks him. Now look at Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against who? Against the Lord and against the his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens, what does he do? He that sitteth in the heavens shall what? Shall laugh. He laughs at the devil's attacks against him. He laughs at the devil's attacks against his anointed. God sat in heaven and laughs. Then he says, he that sitteth in the heavens, what does he do? He shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. And that word derision means to mock. So God laughs at the enemy and he mocks him. God, we're to be imitators of God as dear children, the Bible tells us. Imitate God as dear children. So what should we do? We should laugh at the devil when we see him attacking us. We should be exceedingly joyful. That's what the Bible says right here. The Bible says that God laughs at the devil. I remember when Elijah, you remember Elijah, Apostle Hunter? Remember when Elijah had faced off those 400 false prophets of Baal? Remember that?
Yes.
And what did Elijah do? Elijah said, call on your God. Maybe he's on the toilet. Maybe he don't hear you. He started mocking them. He started mocking those 400 false prophets. He started mocking them. I tell you, you laugh at the devil. Mock the devil. We're to be imitators of God as dear children. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Isn't that what it says, Apostle?
That's right.
Let me show you that in case you're doubting me, because I know some people they look for mistakes and all that, but I'm just trying to help you. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. He says, be ye therefore followers. That followers right there means imitators. Be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. So if God sits on his throne and laughs at the enemy when he plans counsel against God, then we're to do the same thing. Laugh at the enemy. And then that word derision means to mock. It's all right that we laugh at the devil and mock him. Count it all joy. When all hell comes against you, count it all joy. Look at 1 Peter. See, that's why it's good that we use the word and rightly divide the word. I did my homework on these definitions. I did my homework, and this is for all those theologians who like to debate and come against what's being said. You know what? Look it up for yourself. Do your homework. Pray and ask God to help you. He'll show you. He'll show you what he's saying. We're to be imitators of God as dear children. If God laughs at the devil, then we should laugh at the devil too. If God mocks the devil, then we can mock the devil too.
Yes.
Count it all joy. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Listen to what it says. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. See, it's not a strange thing that happens when the child of God gets under attack of the devil. But look what he says in verse 13. He says, but rejoice. Good God Almighty. There it is again. Count it all joy when you're under attack of Satan. But rejoice in so much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. So look what he says now. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. We're to count it all joy when we're under attack of Satan, because I tell you, it's not going to last. After you have suffered for just a little while, the God of all grace, he's going to come and strengthen you and establish you and settle you and perfect you. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth us out of them all. God takes lemons and makes lemonade. He causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. Count it all joy. The trouble's not going to last. God's going to rebuke all the attacks of the devil after a while. All you have to do is just count it all joy.
Sure.
Number two, we need to believe God. We need to believe God and what he says to us in his word, Apostle. We're talking about when all hell comes against us. What do we do when all hell, when Satan attacks us on every side? What do we do? Number one, we count it all joy. Number two, we believe God. We believe God. In Acts chapter 27, verses 23 through 25, Paul was a prisoner on a ship to Rome. He was caught in a great storm. Nevertheless, he stood on God's word. Oh, my God. My God from glory. Look at Acts. Look at Acts chapter 27. Now, Paul is on a ship. He's a prisoner. That's bad enough right there. And he's on his way to Rome. That's bad. But then a great storm comes up at sea to threaten everybody's life that's on the ship. Their lives were in jeopardy. Their lives were on the line. But look what Paul does. Look at Acts chapter 27. And look at verses 23 through 25. Now, I already told you what's going on now. Paul is on a ship. He's a prisoner, and he's on a ship to Rome. Then a great storm comes up at sea. Now look what happens here. Look at verse 23. Paul said, for there stood by me this night the angel of God. God sent an angel to Paul in the midst of the storm, Apostle. In the midst of him, he's on the ship, he's a prisoner, and they're taking him to Rome. And now a great storm has come up at sea, and everybody's life is on the line, is in jeopardy. Everybody on the ship's life. But God wanted to bring some comfort and strength to Paul. God sent an angel to Paul, and he says, for there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. You're going to make it, Paul. It's a must that you be brought before Caesar. And lo, God had given thee all them that sail with thee. He said, Paul, you got to be in Rome. He says, you're going to make it. You're going to stay alive, and everybody on the ship with you is going to stay alive. Hey, look now. See, and Paul believed God. Look at verse 25. Paul says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. He's trying to settle everybody down and comfort them. He's a prisoner now, and he's trying to comfort everybody else on the ship, Apostle. He said, everybody just chill out. Cheer out. Be of good cheer. He says, because I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. See, Paul said, I believe God. We're going to make it. And don't you know they all made it to shore? They all made it to shore alive because Paul believed God. You see, when you're under attack of Satan, believe God. Believe God in what he tells you. Believe that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Believe God. Oh, glory to God. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, apostle says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises itself against you, thou shalt condemn. God says, no sickness. Yeah, Satan might throw sickness at you, but it won't prosper. Yeah, people might start lying on you and defaming you, but it's not going to prosper. Yeah, Satan might attack your finances, and it might look like you're going down for the count, but it won't prosper. Yeah, people are saying all types of lies about us, apostles, but it won't prosper. No weapon. Sickness and disease might attack your body. Satan might throw sickness and disease at you. Yeah, but it won't prosper. No weapon. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. When all hell comes against you, count it all joy and believe God. And I only had enough for 2 points, and that's what I want to say.
My God, are you there?
I'm here, Apostle.
Oh, man, you got so excited, you like you done got the Holy Ghost and went out. I thank God for what you're doing. Man, I tell you, that was some teaching. It's brother,
oh, glory to God.
Amen. Is Pastor Irvin there? I probably got him on hold. So just hold on a few minutes. I think I got him on hold. Amen. You there? Let me see if I got him on hold. Hold on again. Sometimes the machine acts up, and that's crazy.
That's all right. When all hell comes against you, count it all joy.
That's right. The devil ain't nothing but a liar from the beginning to where he is right now. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Count it all joy and believe God.
Hey, Pastor.
Amen.
How you doing?
Amen.
Amen. Well, you on the line. Go right ahead on and preach the word, sir. Go ahead and preach it.
Yep, well, like the apostle says, when the enemy attacks, you just count it for joy.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, I can start out, I got a couple of praise reports for you guys tonight. You know, I've been working on this place down here in by Hobby Airport, getting ready to open up as a children's ministry. And I got a call to go look at a place down in Lamarck, the city wants to condemn the building, and the woman wants to open up a ministry down there, and I went down and looked at it, and I determined that the building can be saved, you know, so they could use some prayer on that. And both, believe it or not, both of these women that they're opening these ministries up, they're both from South Korea. And they're here to minister to the people here in the U.S.
Amen.
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 Amen. You know, so I hope that you guys will just keep these women in prayer, and that these missions and ministries that they're opening up will go forward, and then also I think we have the property in El Salvador, so we can build the orphanage, and like I said, I got the 767 truckloads of clothes ready to ship down there and then ship to Africa. You know, we're still trying to find a way we can get over to Africa, but, you know, they can keep us in prayer on that, too. So, but it's all good. It's all good, you know, and that's what we're looking forward to. It just continues to increase the word of God, you know, in any country and anywhere else we can do it, you know, and it doesn't make any difference. We got people coming here from all over the world to minister, because we know that a lot of the ministries here are closing down because they're losing faith, they're losing hope in seeing what's going on in the world. And God tells us all the time, he says, don't look at the world, look at me. Look at what's going on in the world, look at me.
That's right.
Trust me. So, you know, and
that's right, Pac.
Amen, amen. And so amen. You know, I just wanted, this is a word of encouragement for all the pastors out there, just to, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world, it doesn't matter what's going on in your congregation, because you see, each congregation, there's a body of Christ, and we just have to sit there and look at each other and realize who we are and the love of God that's in each and every one of us, and stop looking at the outside, but start looking at the inside once again, at where God has placed his heart in each and every one of us. You know, every church, every building, it's not your building. It's God's. Jesus said, my Father's house would be a house of prayer. So we
That's
just
right.
need to be other and understand that if we take it out of our hands, we put it in the hands of our Father in heaven, and let him prosper it. All we have to do is be willing vessels. And that's what we need to be, willing vessels. And we don't care what's going on outside the doors. And truth, like you said, you know, the devil comes against us, like you said, Apostle, even though if you're being righteous and trying to be righteous, that he'll raise up, even in the congregations, he'll bring up people against you. And false witnesses and everything else. So, you
know,
I just wanted, this is a word of encouragement to all the pastors, you know, everybody that's going into ministry. I know a lot of you are hearing stories and things as such, and just, you know, just lay it down. You know, you don't have to worry about it. Like you said, Paul was in a shipwreck. He was there, and he was there, all these other things that come against him. Even Jesus, sitting on the cross, looking down after being beaten and whipped and humiliated and stripped naked, you know. And what did he do? He says, God forgive him. His love for each and every one of us. And that's what we need to continue to look at and not look and see what's going on in the world. Be aware of it, but we don't have to be partakers in it. You know, basically, what my ministry is, ministering tonight is about, you see, I was in the restaurant, and I seen this girl, she come walking up, and she had a shirt on that says, God's love never fails.
That's right.
And you sit there, and you kept thinking about that, and God started talking to me. He says, yes, and my love never fails.
Yeah.
I put my love in you. What are you doing with it?
My God.
What are you doing with it? Because if my love never fails, that means those people who are coming against you, you speak to them in love, in my love, in my greatness, that it will change their hearts. And that peace will come upon them. It becomes upon the enemy. That God says, or even in Proverbs, it says to speak a kind word, disable the wrath, you know. So all we have to do is just speak kindly and show God's love that he has placed in our hearts. And that's where we need to be. We need to be in God's love. And he says his love never fails. And it's not that we sit there, a lot of times we sit there and we go, oh, why God, why this, why that, how come this is coming against me? I thought you loved me, oh, da, 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 na, na. I don't think there's anyone that hasn't, I'm talking to, that hasn't gone through that at some point in their life.
Right.
So, and I'm not speaking anything out of school or anything else, you know. I, even myself, I've been in that same position. And, you know, and then you get the ministers and you have other people that are in Christ, and they'll come up to you and they'll try to speak a kind word. And you kind of sit there and you scold them. You look at them and say, yeah, really? He says, why don't you sit where I'm sitting and tell me about how good God's love is? How many of you sit there at the cross and looked upon that man that was on the cross, that was beaten and whipped, and blood streaming down from him, and turned their head away from the cross because they couldn't look upon it anymore? But that was his love. That was his love that was pouring out on each and every one of us. You know, God's love never fails, and this is true. But that love is what he put in each and every one of us who received Jesus and come to the knowing and understanding as to who he is and what it means of what salvation is and what it is for him to be on that cross that day, you know, Calvary. His greatness was that of his love. And how many of us have thrown stones at it when we come against hard times and we rebuke and rejected those who come with a kind word, that speak a kind word into our hearts because we're in some kind of misery, we're in some kind of peril or catastrophe that we don't want to listen, we don't want to hear it. I'm not alone in this. I believe I'm talking to a lot of people who's been through the same thing that I'm talking about right now. You know, I'm confessing it in myself, and you know, I'm lifting everybody up in prayer that you've come to the same conclusion. You know, it's not that God doesn't love us. You know, sometimes we're put in positions because of the things of the past that we've done, the consequences that we still have to encounter and do. It's not that he hasn't done away with it. He has forgotten our sins. But, you know, at the same time, we still have to deal with the consequences of our past.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes it's hard. And sometimes it's a hard pill to swallow. Sometimes it's a hard thing, you know, and it compromises, puts us in a position. But then all that does is strengthens us because we have to walk through it and endure it. And even though we don't recognize it and understand it, we think it's either God coming against us or it's the devil coming against us or it's this or it's that or it's this one or that one or something this and something that. Until you sit there and settle yourself and be quiet and be still and you start to listen to that still voice and God brings to remembrance what you did to someone in your past, to someone that or something that you tried to beat somebody out of, or maybe you had an affair that you left them hanging and left them stranded. You know, I mean, this is I'm speaking truth here. You know, there's things that are in our past that we silently put away and we don't want to speak about it. But God says that He brings that all up. He brings it up before us. Because we have to deal with it, you know. We just don't go into timeout and then come out of timeout and go on about our business. We have to deal with the things that we had done in our past. And that is God's love for us. Because when we start to deal with the things in our past and the things that we've done, you know, in AA and NA, the 12 steps, you know, they tell you to go back and try to make amends with those that you hurt and those that you robbed and those, whatever it is that you've done, try to make amends. And we're supposed to do the same thing, you know, even before we take communion. If we have ought against our brother, we need to go make an amends before we have communion. We have to set the record straight. Sometimes what we need to do, we have to go back even as far back as into our childhood. You know, we could have spoke a word that changed somebody's life, that sent them down the wrong trail, that they never achieved or accomplished what God intended for them because they listened to a scolding word, they listened to a harsh word, they listened to you mock them, they listened to you do something to somebody. And for that, it set a precedence in their lives. And they never accomplished or achieved, you know. Or maybe you introduced them to drugs and alcohol, even though you maybe have been delivered, but they never surpassed. They never got past it. And they never been able to achieve or accomplish what God had planned in their lives because something that you had done in the past. You know, we have to face those consequences. And a lot of times when we can release a lot of that is when we sit there and we say, God, forgive us. You know, God, will you bless those that I hurt? Bless them mightily, Lord. Bless them greater today than that they've had in their life because of my ignorance, because of my stupidity, because of my anger or whatever, Lord, that it caused them to fall, that caused them to stumble, that caused them to stay away from you, to turn, that you would bless them, that you would encourage them, Lord, and lift them up. Lord, and if they're not there anymore, then bless their children or their children's children, or whoever it may be, to set their record straight. Bless them greater and mighty for the things that I had done in my past that brought them to a place where they should never have been. Father, forgive me now. I ask in the name of Jesus that you would do these things for me, Lord, and we can set ourselves free. And that's a prayer I pray for each and every one of us that's had stumbled, has fallen, has, you know, like I said, the consequences. And that is God's love that never fails, because you're reaching out, you're setting back, you're trying to set the record straight, you're turning this corner, you're trying to make a difference, you're trying to rebuild something that was destroyed. Even though we may not be able to physically do it ourselves, but in the spirit of God and through his mercy and his grace and answering that prayer, God will justify the means for the end for those that we've hurt, that we've displaced, those that we've discouraged, and those that we've in our past that we've put into a place where they should never have been gone. You know, like I said, when I looked at that shirt, God started talking to me. He says his love never fails. And he asked
never.
What are you doing with my love that I've given you? I see these two women that they're from South Korea. They're the love of Christ is in them, that they're trying to make a difference here in the United States. Trying to make a difference in people's lives. They could have gone back to South Korea and continued over there, but they knew that this nation that God loved, it was for, that brought missionaries, that sent them out throughout the world, into Africa and Asia and India and all parts of the world, this nation, that God is calling them out for their nations to come here to minister to us, because the church here is beginning to falter. It's beginning to slip. It's beginning into a prosperity of false preachings. And praise God, we have people that are coming back to minister to us, to strengthen us once again. That's God's love. That's God's love. He hasn't forsaken this nation. He hasn't forsaken you. Even though you may be going through some kind of a trial, you may be going through something right now in your life, and you're not understanding why, and you're rebuking the devil, and you're casting out the demons, and you're doing everything else, it's maybe because you need to step back and look at what may be something that you have missed in your life. That God, allow God to bring back to remembrance. Not so much to bring you down, to squash you, but to make amends.
Yes.
You know, he's already forgiven us. But it's us that who we have to sit there, and we have to come to terms in our own selves so we can be set free from those consequences. God wants to bless us, but he can't bless us when we have those things underlined, hidden in us, that needs to come out. And God says when we confess our sins to one another, that it releases. So that's what we need to do. And it's not so much as just that we go to the altar, we go to the pastors or priests or whoever it is, or brothers and sisters. That's bringing some remembrance to yourself and before God, and then going to try to make it right with the one that you hurt in your past. Show that love of God that's in you. You know, even though we may have changed deep down inside, that rooted sequence that's in us, that is still a seed that is of Adam, you know, that we need to put to rest so we can rise up and share that love of Christ. I mean, share that love of God. Because his love never fails. It never fails us. And even in the darkest hours, even in the most heated arguments, if we can sit there and say, you know, you're right, forgive me. God loves us enough that we shouldn't be acting like this. We need to change. We need to show the love of Christ that is in us to each other and to our enemies, to win our enemies over. We can't do it by rebuking them and keeping them at bay, because deep down inside, those same enemies are bringing remembrance to the things that you did to someone in your past, 10 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, whatever the case may be. And time to get it right and get it straight. And God can continue to bless us. He continue to bring us up and continue to raise us up and bring us out of that mist and put us back to where we need to be. We're, some of us are staggering. Some of us become in a stalemate. Some have become so distraught and disoriented because they can't figure out why, Lord, why, mm-hmm. why is this going on? I thought you said your love never fails. Well, my love never does fail, says the Lord. So what are you doing with it?
Go ahead and preach it, brother. Go on, preach it.
What are you doing with my love that I've given to you, that I sent my own son to shed his blood upon the cross for your salvation? What are you doing with the love that I gave you for others?
My God. All right.
You know, I saw a young girl here down here in South Houston, and she was badly burnt. I mean, she had lost her arms, her face was all disfigured, and I don't know what else she did. But I saw her at one of the grocery stores down here, and I was standing there, and I just don't know why, but I just turned and I looked at her, and all I said was, "How are you doing tonight?" Because I saw in her something that was so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Even as so disfigured as she was, there was something that was so beautiful in her. And I realized
yes.
it was the love of God.
Yes.
Pain and the suffering mm-hmm. that she had gone through, with the burns that she was over her body, I bet it was over 90% of her body. Like I said, she lost her arms. A tiny little thing. That the disfigurement and probably what she's had to go through with people looking at her and looking at the physical aspects of her body and her face and the disfigurement of her and all the pain in her heart and all the pain and suffering that she went through in her body with the burns and everything else that she had to endure. And through it all, when I looked at this young girl, I saw the love of God in her. And all I could see, but God could see, and that was his love in her.
And praise God.
You know, we don't understand. We can't continue to look at the physical aspects of life. And so on and so forth. You know, I asked God once a long time ago, I said, God, let me see what you see. And man, he opened up the windows on that one, and I've sat there and I've seen such beauty in people, and I've seen such ugliness in people. But the beauty that I've seen in that young girl, if you could mask my whole life, is seeing how ugly and shameful that it was that I had before I come to knowing who the Lord is. Yet I still struggle sometimes in the things that I do, because God keeps bringing these things up, and I have to sit there and I have to make amends and I have to step over. And once you recognize it and once you see it, and once you sit there and call it what it is and bring it into remembrance, even though God has cleaned your slate and forgiven you for all your sins, you have to begin to forgive yourself. You have to begin to forgive those who hurt you. And most of all, you have to begin to bless those who you hurt.
Yes. My God, my God.
You have to, in order to be able to understand and see what that little T-shirt said the other day, God's love never fails.
Mm-hmm.
Walking in that love, it will never fail.
Never fail.
Never fail. Once you start walking in that love, and you show that to your enemies, and you show that to those who are in your house, you show that it's in your church, those who come against you, those who constantly are picking on you, those who are beating you up, you continue to show that love that God had put in you. Eventually, those walls will come down. It will break that cycle. It will set those people free. And it will set you free so God can use you in a more and mighty and greater things that he has planned for your life.
Mm.
You need to understand the true meaning of God's love never fails.
My God. Christ.
Thank
Christ,
God.
Christ, Christ.
Huh?
Sir?
What's that?
No, I'm listening to you.
I don't know, brother. It's just sometimes, you know, God lays some really heavy stuff on me, and I just go, well, okay. And I hope that maybe it opens some eyes to some of you people out there that maybe you're struggling right now and you can't figure out why. Maybe you're struggling, you can't figure out, you know, why this and why that. How come this is coming against me? How come I can't go any further than where I am at right now? Well, maybe it's because you need to sit there and bring to remembrance. Even though God has forgiven you.
Amen.
You have to make the amends in order for you to go on.
But, you know, one thing you said, I took a quick minute. We have people coming from a different place in the world to America.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? And they're bringing a word. And so what does that say to America? What does that say to all of us Americans? If God's going to send somebody into us and start telling us, that means we're on the wrong path as a
that's
whole.
That's right. That's right. It means the church is failing. And we see it failing. We see it failing in many ways. We see it in they just want to tickle people's ears and keep them comfortable. And you know, and we don't want to offend them. And we don't want to, you know, hey, you know, we don't want to talk about the blood. We don't want to scare them. We don't want to. But you know what? That's what those missionaries did when they went over into Africa and into Asia and into India and all these other places where they put their lives on the line, where they had hunters and so on and so forth. They put their lives on the line just as Jesus put his life on the line for all of us, is to sit there and speak and preach the true gospel that changed the world, that's changed the lives of so many people. You know, like I said, told you before, in China, there's I think it's almost 1 million people a month that are coming to the Lord. And that's only about 1 or 2% of the population of China.
But you know something, I will say this here. Now, listen to the teaching. I'm not trying to criticize anybody, but I heard this word tonight. It kind of, and your word stuck with me in my throat. And when I was reading, he gave us 1 Chronicles 21:1, how Satan is busy
And it's because that the business of Satan has come to a real point where you got more people who are young, more people who are old who are not going and take. And one of the things the brother said that he says that when all hell comes against you, and I said, when hell comes against me, I put a question mark on my, when hell comes against me, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Hell comes against you and us. Because if we start telling the people in America, I don't care if they're white or if they're poor, we got to tell them about Jesus Christ. And the more they come to know about Jesus Christ, we can't see indifference as Christian and believers. We got to see nothing but the narrow line. See, blood is blood. Blood is red. I know we have different type, maybe B, AB, but there is a red blood. Blood is blood. My point
That's
is
right.
real. If the supposed to be big time preachers, small time preachers, the fivefold ministry is allowing Satan to come in here and do what he's doing to us. It comes to say just what's been said tonight. No. I'm not raising the river. I'm asking a question. My God Almighty, this is awesome, brother. This is awesome. Satan, the First Chronicles 21. Satan, Lucifer, the devil, the damned one, who walked in heaven, rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. God says to us as believers, I want you to start naming my people. I want you to just get them together. Just get them together to know who I am. And most people say, well, you know, I don't want to go to that church because they're talking about speaking in tongues. Well, if you ain't never spoken, you're a hypocrite. I mean, you ain't got nothing to do. Because this thing is real. When God can heal me, got my heart. Do you think when the devil say Satan rose up against Willie and incited me to take against Israel? I'm not going against Israel. I am Israel.
That's right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. You know, I'm going against Israel.
Amen. See, and the Bible tells us be alert, with it, Hunter, and be sober minded. Now, sober minded doesn't mean you got to be drunk, smoking some weed, you know, and then shoot some popping. But be sober minded. Let your mind be clear at all times. Your enemy, who's Satan, prowls around the earth, roaring. He's looking for, oh, that devil, that might want. See, lions, good God of mine, I'm getting some happy here, Lord. Ooh, Jesus.
Amen.
They have a program on the chapter, lines on television, and they talk about each line has a certain perimeter. They come up to it. They got 20 miles to stay within that same frame. But once they cross over to another line's territory, there's a big fight going on. So when they follow the buffalo, and the buffaloes go out, then they look small, then come the big elephant. Then they have to, oh, my God, we're going to attack against the big elephants came in. So the lions, they tried to say, well, they've had to go home for one whole month without anything to eat. But all of a sudden, they decided, we got this enticing. They found one who was weak. See, the devil finds one who is weak. When he finds a weak one, I don't like you, Pastor Irvin. You know, your skin is like my skin. My eyes are better than yours. No, that's a lie from the devil.
Yes,
amen.
Right.
One of you,
amen.
Your skin is black and your eyes are brown. That's a lie from the devil. I had nothing to do with my making. God knew what he did when he put me up. I'm getting, oh, good God, I'm about to kick the football. Oh, my God. God is so good to us. And see, I come to find out, I know I put it on the line tonight, so I see tonight we're going to have some discussion. Open forum for the Word of God. The line's open at 8:30. And you know what a lot of people want to do? They want to get on Facebook and lie and cheat and say something here and there. But when you put the solid word on Facebook, they don't know, they won't respond to it. They won't write me back a comment. Do I love them? I say, God love them. Because I know one day I'm going to do all I can, and I want us all. So when I look at what, glory to God, hallelujah. And you know, Jesus, God is so good. Isn't he good?
He's good.
Oh,
he's good.
And we said that because you are the family of believers. We are in the family of believers. So if a person comes to you, see, you got somebody in the church going, so we need to check that preacher out. Go there and see what he got going on. See where he's staying, how he's staying. Is he rich, poor, or ignorant, stupid? Test him so we can find out. That's what the devil does. He puts in somebody else here. And somebody weak enough to come to you. Well, hey, Pastor, how you doing, Apostle? You know, we heard a good word about you. What good word you heard about me? We heard that you was out there preaching last night. Liar, I was at home praying last night.
Yeah.
Am I right about it? See, but every night, what we have to do is we have to take our own medicine from God's word. And when you take that word and you digest it, when you digest that, whew, my God, my
yep. Glory. Amen. Amen. But, you know, even when God brings those things to remembrance, as I was talking about a little bit ago, you know, that only strengthens us. Tear us down is to build us up because it strengthens us because we recognize our faults. We recognize the thing. And once we recognize those faults in us and we recognize the thing, then the devil can't use that against us anymore. And that just strengthens us so we can go on to from glory to glory, victory to victory.
That's it. See, one thing I come to find I'm doing a lesson on the Bible about the judges and crowns, and I've been putting a lesson together online, and I've been somewhat teaching. Question that was raised: what millennial are you talking about? What millennial are you talking about? See, you is deep study. We are in time right now. Well, we got the Republicans and the Democrats and the what's the group? They're fighting against each other. Everybody wants to be in charge. Well, you know who's in charge of that? The devil.
That's right.
And if we just take notice, all of a sudden in America, we saw the snow hit hard on the West Coast. We saw it in the West. No corn was being got bad. The corn got hot, and so when we don't have no corn, the wheat, what are we gonna do to feed? So right now, a loaf of bread is up $3 right now.
That's right.
Amen.
The Bible says the man will work all day for a loaf of bread.
Well, see, it's the calling of these latter days that we're living in right now. Because everybody say I'm better. I'm not better than everybody. I'm just like everybody else. I have to squat and get up and wash and get ready to go back again. Got to put my head down in the morning. That's what I tell people. You know, that's one I feel. And let me see, 984 Reverend B.J. Lane and Acres Home, he got a good building, but the name of the church is good. I said, and I can tell you this, what they know from, I stand with him because he's a good teacher. He's a good lover of God. See, when you love God, you love me.
Glory
when
to
you
God.
Don't love people like me.
Amen.
Yeah. You know what's happening. I can see it in a lot of things. With a lot of the ministries, they're trying to emulate the mega churches. But you know, there was a pastor that was on the radio station the other day, and he says, "Does anybody remember the name of the man that led C.L. Lewis to the Lord? Does anybody remember the name of the pastor that led Billy Graham to the Lord? Does anybody remember the name?" You know, and then God said, there's a scripture in the Bible where it says those who do diligently and more is that without being praised, you know, or the little things. If you're doing more, I got to think of how I want to say this. You may not think you're doing something in your ministry because you don't have a big congregation, you don't have $1 million budget that you have to play and work with and where you can do all these things that some of these other churches do. But you, if you have one or two people in your congregation or 20 in your congregation, or if you go out and do a tent revival and only one person shows up and it might be another Billy Graham.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Don't be discouraged how many people you got in your congregation. That's not what you need to be counting. You need to be counting your blessings, that there is somebody there that you can pour what God is pouring into you and the love of God into that person. And they may be the next C.L. Lewis, the next Billy Graham, or whoever.
You know what? We got some great and we got a lot of people here. See, some people, because they think they know so much, they want to feel well. And some people think they want to go. Because I'm always seeking nothing but the truth. I want as much as you know and as much as you can give me a keep in line with the word of God. See, the more I know about the Bible, the Word of God, the more I know about it, the better I can be. And see, one thing I will say to the beloveds that are listening to us, I pray tonight in the name of Jesus
Amen.
Will take this word, the old prophet did when God said, take the word and eat it all.
Yes.
You
Amen.
Gotta yep. Eat it all, not part. All.
Yes. Amen.
I mean, just a couple of cents. So it was. Whenever they saw that was much money in the chest, that the king's scribe and the priest came up and put a bag and counted the money that was found in the house of the Lord. See, that was the people in the people are stealing money back in the Old Testament and First Peter 12. I was just thinking to and when they get the money. This is what the people are taking use of. See, everybody thinks it's money that makes you move. A kind word so somebody can help somebody. A word of encouragement. A kind word. See, it might be a brother or sister that you might come to know. Somebody needs to know. And you know, across America, right now, and God's going to be at the station, keep coming together. I want to say this. Hold up the breathing heavy. I want to say this. One thing you need to understand, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Everybody have to get their faith right, get it right. He's going to learn something. Hanging around the church got a program. Take them to church program. They ain't got diddy squat. Can I ask a personal question? Are you upset? Yeah, I'm upset because they're teaching them a bunch of junk. Slop. S-L-O-P. S-L-O-P is what it is. Slop, slop, slop. You ask them about the Holy Spirit. You ask them who is the Holy Spirit. They don't want to talk about that.
They don't want to talk about that. Why? What is the Holy Spirit? Do you know the Holy Spirit? What is his attributes? What is that all about? Who is the intercessor? Who is the comforter? Who is the spirit? See, all of this is information, but people won't take their time. And that's why I say I walk with somebody who walk with God, because I want to be your friend, not your enemy. Let me tell you something. I'm going to let somebody else talk, because I'm getting happy again. When you know that somebody loves God, you want to stay close with that person. Because when you see them, as you said, pastor, said that they saw that young child, and they was wondering, and said, God did this, and God can do it for you also. Last night, I had a young lady on the radio that was us last night, and my God, woo, good God of mine, did she teach last night? Her name is Batiche. That girl taught the word last night. I sit back, I said, see, men get upset when a woman got the word like that. And she said, what men they want to do, they want to love, when they want to run and do this and do that, and they want to come back and want to say, why? Well, you got everything at home. Why couldn't you just stay at home? I said, oh, my God. You scratching the head of somebody out there. Anyway. Does anybody have a word? I see Sister Love, are you on the line with us? Hello? Oh, well. Close us out in prayer, Pastor.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for Dr. Hunter, Lord, for stepping out and bringing this radio show, Lord, that you've blessed them with it, Lord, so many could come on and teach, Lord, and this word goes out throughout the world, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the things that you're doing in our lives that we don't see, and that yet we prosper, Lord, in the things that you have us to do, Lord. And a lot of times we don't recognize the fact, you know, Lord, that you're there working with us and trying to make it, even though it's not the way we wanted to go with it, Lord, but we allow you to take it and you mold it, and that you press it in, Lord, and press it down, Lord, and that it would become greater than anything that any one of us could ever do ourselves, Lord. Lord, you bless us many times over, Lord, and we just thank you, and we give you all the praise and the glory for it, Lord. Father, I ask that if anyone in this audience right now, Lord, that doesn't know you, I pray that they would come to know you. I pray that they would ask right now that Jesus would come into their lives and forgive them of their sins, as you make him Lord and Savior of their life, Lord. Father, I ask you just touch that person right now, Lord, whoever it is, wherever they're at, Lord. It doesn't mean that they don't have to wave a magic wand or anything else, Lord, but just let your spirit fall upon them, Lord, gently like rain, Lord, and wash and cleanse them, Lord, and hold them, Lord, and hug them and keep them in your arms, Lord. Father, I ask for every pastor and every minister that's in this audience that's hearing us right now, I pray that you would continue to encourage them, Lord, send the angels around about them, Lord, in this couple of the dark times in this world, Lord, that there would be that for their protection, Lord, and you watch over them and minister to them, Lord, and raise them up, Lord, each and every one, Lord. And then they're in their troubles, Lord, that they would lay it down, Lord, and you would give them peace, Lord. And they would begin to share your love, Lord. We thank you, Father, for everything you're doing in everyone's lives, Lord. We ask you, Lord, for the healing to anyone who needs a healing right now, Lord. Your healing hand be upon them, Lord. You watch over them, Lord. Protect them. Lord, for those we know that we're not live forever, but we live forever in eternal life, Lord. But for those that you're ready to call home, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would give courage, Lord, to the loved ones, Lord, that they has their loved ones depart, Lord, that you would continue to love on them, encourage them, Lord.
and be with them, Lord, in their time, Lord. Father, I ask right now, Lord, that you just bless each and every one, Lord. Your helping hand upon them, Lord. I pray for the ministries, Lord, to become once again strong in this nation, Lord. And the elected officials, Lord, we pray, Lord, right now that you would raise up a godly leader, Lord, in this nation, Lord. And those who are in Congress and representatives and the judges, Lord, give them a mind of Christ, Lord, to execute the righteousness and judgment, Lord, and not of the world, but of your righteousness, Lord. Let there be common sense once again. Let there be morality once again in this world, Lord. And let it begin with us, Lord. It'll give us the boldness to begin to once again to speak the truth about the love of Christ, the salvation, and the crucifixion, and the resurrection of Jesus. Lord, we thank you right now, Lord, for you giving us the opportunities, Lord. We thank you right now for everything that you're doing in our lives, Lord. I pray that you would continue, Lord, to be with us. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I love blessing everybody. And we'll see y'all again. The peace of God be with you.
Love you,
Amen.
Too. Love y'all, too.
All right.
Amen.
Go on.
So God be with you. Amen.
Amen. Acclamation. ACMATIO. Acclamation.
Okay, well, it's on there. It's on 129 or 128.
129 or
120, yeah. I just got some information from my school board about Carl Byers being the president of our class in 1964.
I knew something. I said, oh, that feels good back there. Well, touching me. That's why I look back there.
I'm going back there and look at it. About Mr. O.J. Mr. O.J., are you there?
Shut it down. Shut it down. Thank you.
all of their eggs are in the basket. They don't have as much of an operation as they're open. If they do really well here, then they're able to have their busy building in the farm. So, but the schedule is different. As you know, they have more of my issues. And it's hard to come in and not go. It's hard to keep the season before South Carolina, at least, in February, not March. But, you know, this is going to be a real year.
Simpson, great.